Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe live at the Music City Center today. NASCAR Awards in town. We'll talk to some drivers here in just a little bit. But right now we're going to talk some hockey with our man Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Nice enough to go a little bit early today. Greg, what's up? How are you?
I'm very nice. Many people say I'm one of the nicest people that they know in person, but nobody says that online, surprisingly. So it's just my lot in life, I suppose.
Having met you several times and talked to you every week, I can confirm you are very nice. So we certainly appreciate that. Let's start with obviously the big story in the NHL, and that is Corey Perry being waived by the Chicago Blackhawks as there was an incident that took place, and everybody's trying to figure out exactly what that was. There were some rumors out there when it comes to Corey Perry, but what's the latest that you have heard, and what's going to be next for him?
I mean, we're status quo right now. I mean, what's next for him is trying to figure out if he's going to grieve this contract termination through the NHLPA. The PA has said that they're, you know, reviewing the matter. They've got, I think, a 60-day window to determine what they're going to do there. And the PA in the past has certainly not been shy about grieving contract situations. You remember the Mike Richards deal with the Los Angeles Kings is one example. Evander Kane with the San Jose Sharks is another example. So we'll wait and see what their interpretation of this one is. And the twist here, obviously, is we've got a new head of the NHLPA and Marty Walsh. Already we saw the PA dispute a couple of suspensions earlier this season that were less than the threshold to send them to an arbitrator. So they're basically just like sending it back, says knowing that he'll just sign off on it. But it was at a time when people thought that maybe Walsh was testing the waters and poking the bear a little bit and trying to see, you know, trying to get the NHL's attention maybe. So we'll see what they end up doing with this Perry contract situation.
Yeah, I'm very curious of that and what's going to end up happening, and if another team, you know, because that's the hard part with all of this. We don't know exactly what the incident was, and so any team that would potentially be interested in him, because it's not like he was having a bad season, you know, to start things off. So I'd be very interested in what gets out and what's communicated to other teams if there is interest.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we talked about this at length on our podcast, The Drop, today about just the whole situation and the Blackhawks of it all. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, they should be more candid about this. They should have been quicker to talk about this. And that's why there was a vacuum that was filled with some really salacious rumors about Perry and a teammate. You know, I don't know if people have dealt with human resources on matters like this. It does take a while, especially when it involves someone within the organization. You know, they did an investigation. This whole thing happened right before Thanksgiving, so you have to factor in that too, as far as like the timing of everything. And you know, I don't think the Blackhawks deserve the benefit of the doubt on anything quite yet. I mean, this organization remains tarnished in a lot of our eyes, even though they've, you know, changed personnel from top to bottom since the Kyle Beach thing. But like, this is how you earn our trust back. You know, show us that the mechanisms that you have in place for employee misbehavior are working. Take swift action after you do your investigation. I'm not saying that they deserve the benefit of the doubt going forward, but like, this is the kind of thing we're looking for from that organization, even if they can't be completely candid about what went down.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, talking some NHL with him. Philip Forsberg is one of four skaters with 10 or more goals this month and was the first to get to 10. I mean, we know Philip Forsberg here that he gets one goal, he scores one goal, and they start coming in buckets, and that's exactly what's happened for him. So how impressive is that and what Phil has done?
Really impressive, really impressive. We're actually talking to him on next Tuesday for the podcast as well. He's playing great, and they're all playing great. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about Andrew Brunette teams and how the Predators were skating and how we were just kind of waiting for their shooting percentages to catch up with the work that they were doing on the ice, because things were pointing in the direction that as soon as the puck started going in the net, it was going to probably go in the net a lot. And you know, not only for Phil, but for the team itself, that's certainly been the case. I'm very happy right now because I said the Predators were going to be a playoff team. I am cautiously optimistic, though, because I was looking at them stacking up all these wins, and then I look at their schedule, and I didn't realize What are they home for a month and a half? And then the only
pretty
place
much, yeah.
they went was St. Louis, which is like a bus ride. That's an insane stretch of time to be on home ice early in the season. But listen, you take advantage of it. And I know the homestand didn't get off to the greatest start, but they really, you know, kicked into a different gear lately offensively and put the W's up. And it's great to see.
Well, and also, too, and Phil's mentioned this, but we've been talking about this here, the impact of Ryan O'Reilly. I never dreamed that he would have that big of an impact this early on.
For sure. And the thing about O'Reilly that a few of the Predators have told me in the times I've seen the team, it's you play against him, you know how good he is. You're pretty happy, actually, after all those games against, you know, St. Louis and Colorado during his career that you don't have to play against him anymore. But you don't really understand how good he is until you see him in the dressing room, until you see him in practice, and so you see all of the little things that he does so right from a tactical standpoint, from a preparation standpoint, from a, you know, just simply outworking people standpoint. I think that if the modus operandi from Barry Trotz was to bring in Ryan O'Reilly as not only an effective top line center, but also as a guy that other players could learn from and be a leader in the locker room for a team that was going to skew a little bit young. I mean, mission accomplished so far, because I think that's the role he's played to perfection.
Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN. So a team that needed some change, they needed something. The Minnesota Wild, obviously a member of the Central Division with the Nashville Predators, and they turned to somebody that the Predators know quite well, and John Hines, to be their new head coach. They fired Dean Evason, who was in the organization with the Milwaukee Admirals, and replaced him with John Hines. What did you think of that move? And obviously he goes and gets a win in his first game.
Well, the problem with Evason was that he was in that organization, but he wasn't in the Penguins organization, which is apparently who's running the Wild right now. I mean, Billy Guerin was his GM back when Hines was a minor league coach with Pittsburgh. Ray Shiro, who is a senior advisor for the Wild, hired Hines when he was GM of the Devils. They had ties to Pittsburgh. So hockey nepotism at its finest as John Hines reunites with some old friends. You know, I think that, as everybody in Nashville knows, like what makes him a decent fit for a team that's struggling is his composure. Like he's not a guy who's going to throw a bench on the ice. Like he's got a calmness to him a little bit. And I think the players like him wherever he goes, even if the results aren't always there. I think he's a pretty good coach. I think he's gotten a lot more out of worse rosters than the one he's inheriting in Minnesota. But the Evason firing is the second one this season that's of the same ilk. You know, Jay Woodcroft got fired in Edmonton. In both cases, the team was playing pretty well from the analytics point of view. But the goaltending was a horror show. And in Minnesota, that's the biggest problem right now is that, you know, Fleury is still regressing, and then Gustafson, who was really good last year, has been just as bad. So that's ultimately what gets Evason fired. But at that, and you know, I should also say the vibe change that was necessary. I mean, like, Woodcroft gets fired after the Oilers lose to the San Jose Sharks, and, you know, Evason gets fired after the Wild go winless in 7 games. So combination of horrible goaltending and the necessity for a vibe change, I think, is what led to both coaching changes we've seen this year.
You've covered this game for a long time. Do you ever ask yourself look at firings of coaches. It's almost like sometimes it feels like a very nice, like it happens in a nice way. It's just like, hey, you know, we just need a different voice, but we appreciate you. Oh, no, it's cool. And then, you know, a few months later, they end up with another job. I mean, John Hines gets let go here in May, and then he's already back in the league behind a bench. And I think, you know, Dean Evason will probably, it'll be the same thing. Why is that so unique to hockey, I guess?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, it's just, it's an odd, I think one of the things about coaching changes in the NHL is that, and this might've been the situation in Minnesota, is that the salary cap and how tight everybody is under the salary cap makes it almost the only move you can make sometimes. And in Minnesota's case, obviously, with them having bought out Parise and Suter, that makes the situation even they're even more dire as far as the amount of space that they have. So, like, it's it becomes like the only move that you can make. And it's sort of, I think, one of the things that makes the NHL a bit more unique and creates the environment where you see a lot more coaching changes.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see what John can do with the Minnesota Wild. And, you know, how about this? Second game in, he comes back to Nashville and they take on the Predators later on tonight. I think it's hilarious that the Preds are playing, you know, they've obviously had four coaches in their history, and they play two of them back-to-back games starting tonight and then Peter Laviolette on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's a small world. And I think it also speaks to the thing we were just talking about, which is the constant recycling that happens in this league. I mean, you know, it's remarkable. But yeah, it's part of the issue with the NHL right now that, like, we do see the same names over and over again. That's why, despite the fact that everybody was jumping on Connor McDavid for playing a role in his former junior coach getting hired in Edmonton, you know, at least Chris Knobloch hadn't been a retread, right? But you know, that's just how it is in the NHL. You look around the coaching ranks and it's guys on their, like, third or fourth chance.
Yep, that is for sure. Greg, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Anytime, thanks.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, covers the NHL. You can see him on TV, read his work at ESPN.com as well. Always appreciate him joining us, usually at 9:30 on Thursdays, but moving some stuff around because we are live today at the NASCAR Awards at the Music City Center, and appreciate Green Trees Company for being on board with us on that. They're a dispensary providing high-quality legal THC products. You can learn more at Green Trees, that's with a Z, company.com. We'll have more coming here at the Music City Center. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.